Hello, everybody, and welcome to tonight's stream. It is, of course, the first Patriotic Alternative update of the year. Now, the last Patriotic Alternative update of the previous year was far busier than we thought it was going to be. I was waiting for an easy night, but the regions had been more active than I could possibly imagine, and we had more to report than I thought we would have done. So instead of being the light-hearted chat fest I was expecting for a New Year's Eve show, it was actually pretty political with a lot going on, which is a good thing because it shows just how much we have grown over the last couple of years and just how much enthusiasm there is for the organization. But January has been no different. It has been a very busy January, and we've got a really packed show for you tonight. We have plenty of things to discuss, not just things we've been doing, but things we are planning and updates with things that you will want to know about. And we also have some very, very good news, a couple of real white pills that we're going to be dropping very, very soon. But before we do that, I'm going to say tonight we are live on Odyssey, which is our preferred platform. Odyssey is a one-size-all-fits solution for dissident voices. It is a place where we can upload videos, a place where we can stream, a place that runs its own cryptocurrency, and a place that allows you to take cash donations through their app. So they offer literally everything and more that YouTube did, and they are very friendly to us and support freedom of speech. So thank you to Odyssey for all that they do. We are also live on DLive. There is still some cloud hanging over that platform as to whether it will still be operational soon, because at the moment they are suffering somewhat of a drought in viewers because they drove away all their biggest content creators because they didn't support free speech, but we're still there while DLive is still there. And finally, we are live on RadioAlbion.com. Now, RadioAlbion.com is the home of our good friend Sven Longshanks, and it allows people to listen to this show or to view this show. So you can watch via video or you can listen to an audio-only stream, hence why it is called Radio Albion. And that means if you have low bandwidth or you're experiencing buffering issues, please do check Radio Albion out, bookmark it, because remember, you can listen to my appearance with Dr. David Duke and Dr. Patrick Slattery live there through the week. I did the David Duke show earlier today. It was a very entertaining show, ended with a bit of banter and discussion between me and the good doctor. So if you want to check that out after this show, you can find it there. So if you'd like to contribute to this show, or if you would like to ask any questions, the best way to do that is through Entropy. Entropy is a place you can send super chats. They are cash donations. Those cash donations go towards myself and allowing me to work full time for Patriotic Alternative, which is what I do. And we're going to be talking about some of the things I do as part of the community later tonight. They are all very gratefully received, and it allows me to put all my effort into this very, very important cause. So they are all gratefully received. Now, you can also ask non-paid questions. And as this is the PA monthly stream, we ask all paid and non-paid questions to both myself and Laura. So if you have any queries, if you have any questions, if you have any complaints, we are here to answer them. We are very, very open and transparent with everything to do with PA. And that is why we're here to answer your questions once a month at the end of the month on this stream. But without further ado, we're going to get straight into things. We've got some great news coming up straight away. But before we get to that, I'm going to say hello, Laura. Last time you were on the PA update, you had just given birth. And obviously, things were a little bit different. But hopefully, things have settled down. How are you doing now? How is it being a mum? And how are you getting on with all the PA work and juggling your child at the same time?
It's hard. I remember when we had that conversation before Catherine was born, and you said, do you still want to do everything that you're doing now, or do you want to drop a bit? And I was like, I still want to do everything, it's fine. And you were like, it's really hard, you know. And I'm like, no, she'll just sleep all the time. It is really, really hard, but she's lovely. You can probably hear her crying in the background now because she's really, really clingy with me for some reason. I think it's because I have the milk. But Sam's looking at
me. Well, you do happen to be a mother, Laura. You didn't yeah. carry her for Sam's 9 months.
But yeah, she cries for me. She's really clingy.
Sam didn't ferry her around, though, for 9 months, did he?
That's true. She knows my scent, doesn't she? But it's just, I'm sorry if it's nicer. It's just a pleasure, you know, like no matter what she does, it's just really lovely. She's so sweet. She's a little sweetheart. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the stream tonight. It has been another really busy month. It seems our regional organisers and activists just didn't want to take off any time at all over Christmas and the new year. So we've got, I think we have like maybe 8 or 9 things to go through tonight. So it should be a good one.
Well, we do have a lot of things to go through. And the first bit of news, or the thing that I've bumped up to main news of the night, and this is very good. I was going to ask Sam to speak about it, but obviously Sam is playing his role as the doting father. But the good news is Sam's bail restrictions have been dropped. Now, obviously, we know that Sam was illegally arrested, illegally detained. His house was raided illegally under so-called terror legislation because of quote-unquote stickers. Imagine a government so tyrannical they use terror legislation to arrest somebody and raid their house in a dawn raid over stickers. Well, that is the tyranny we live under today. But that is what happened to Sam. And Sam has been living under the shadow of these tyrannical restrictions that prevented him from spending a night anywhere other than his own bed, that called him to basically sign in at a police station on a semi-regular basis. But, Laura, I was going to ask Sam to tell us about it, but you can tell us about it. These restrictions have now been dropped, and it seems the case is falling to pieces. So what a great piece of news to start the show with and to start the year with.
Yeah, so this has been going on for 10 months now. So it was 10 months ago that Sam was arrested and our home was raided. And he had these really strict bail conditions, which were like, you have to sleep at home every night. And if we come round and ask for your devices, you have to hand them over and give all the passwords. And it was just really strict bail conditions. And Sam's lawyer has said that never, ever, ever seen bail conditions as strict, even with like rapists and burglars, you know, people who go out in the night and stuff. So it's obviously just the police trying to inconvenience us as much as possible. But this week I was in bed because I'd done all the night feeds through the night, and Sam got up and took Catherine downstairs. And then about an hour later, he came up and he said, oh, the police have just been. And I was like, oh God, what is it now? And he said, they've completely dropped all of my bail conditions. So apparently the counter-terrorism officer was sat outside our house in a car, and Sam looked outside the window and they caught each other's eyes. So the guy came to the door, and Sam said he looked really sheepish because he's normally right cocky and like, oh, you know, this ends when you want it to end. But apparently he looked really sheepish, and he said, I'll be dropping all the bail conditions because of insufficient evidence. So gave Sam this piece of documentation, which just basically said, we've got no evidence that you've done anything wrong, so we're dropping all the bail conditions. But Sam has been left under something called released under investigation, which is they could just basically leave that on for as long as they want. They can leave it on for the rest of Sam's life if they want. There's no time limit on it, which basically just means we haven't charged you with anything yet, but we're just leaving you dangling, and you know, and if any other evidence does come up, we can charge you with something. So yeah, it seems like they don't have any evidence that Sam's done anything wrong, but I don't think they're ready to kind of throw the towel in yet and quit just yet and just let him be free. But it's good that the bail conditions have been dropped, because it means that we can actually, you know, go and stay somewhere for a couple of nights. We wanted to go stay in a cottage or something for a few nights, so we can do that now, which is good.
Well, this is good news, and you should tell all of our activists and supporters something very important, that often when the police do abuse the system, when they do force an arrest where arrest isn't actually something that's warranted, when they do search houses illegally, if you do stick to your guns, if you hold the line, make sure that you don't crack, because these people will eventually have to give in. And all of the things they do to you are not particularly lawful. They're not right. They're certainly not ethical or moral, but they are all designed to make you admit to something that you haven't done. The police are not there to uphold the law. The police are not there to find out the truth of the matter or enact fairness or decency. What the police are there for is to get convictions. And they are now being heavily pressured to be fully politicized and to force through convictions for these nonsensical hate crime offenses. And I was going to say race offenses, but it's not just race anymore. There are all these different 5 of them, in fact, protected characteristics. And if you criticize anyone or seem to be criticizing anyone or saying anything that could be found to be offensive by anyone who is caught under one of these 5 protected characteristics, you can be arrested and they can basically turn the thumb screws to get you to admit to something when you actually haven't done anything wrong. And the moral of this story is quite simple. Keep your mouth shut, hold your nerve, and basically they will crack before you do. And I know this can be very stressful. It's been awful for Laura and Sam, but this is great news. And it shows that our approach of keeping your mouth shut, our approach of not saying anything to the police, of no commenting the interviews, and remaining strong does pay off. Laura, you must be feeling pretty relieved about this. This must have been almost sort of like a late Christmas present for you. You've been on a bit of a roll, haven't you? You've given birth, beautiful, healthy baby girl, and now your husband is one step closer to having this cloud disappear from above his head and be able to get on with his life completely. How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, we weren't worried that they'd find anything bad because we haven't done anything bad, but it's just they've obviously done this to inconvenience us. I mean, they've still got all of our devices, so we're trying to get through to them at the minute and say, can we have our devices back? But I think it has proven to us, I mean, some of the stuff that they did, I haven't even gone into all the details, but they tried accusing Sam of like all this terrorism stuff and this really horrible stuff so that he'd hand over his passwords. And he hasn't handed over his passwords, and eventually they sent this device off to GCHQ and they cracked it. And they were like, oh, there's nothing on there. But they were nagging Sam for the password for ages and Sam just didn't give it to him. So yeah, it's nice that me and Sam can like actually go and stay somewhere else one night if we want to now. That's the only thing that was annoying really. But I'm glad that we made them do the work because I think we inconvenienced them more than they inconvenienced us, because this has been 10 months of work for them and so far they've got nothing. So yeah, as Max said, just don't speak to them, just no comment them. And they have this little tactic now where they phone you up and say, oh, will you come into the police station for a chat with us, and make out like you have to go speak to them. If they had something on you, they'd arrest you. So don't go and speak to them. Don't give them your passwords. Don't sign anything if they put a piece of paper in front of you. Just don't engage with them at all, because all they're trying to do is get a conviction out of you so that they can say, oh, look, far-right terrorism is really bad, when in reality we know that it doesn't even exist, or it's a very, very, very small threat. It's insignificant in comparison to Islamic terrorism and left-wing terrorism. So just don't engage with them at all. And for us, like, luckily in this situation it worked out, and hopefully they'll just drop the whole thing now, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, we have some other good news as well. Now, obviously, last year we achieved an awful lot. We went from strength to strength and we broke all of our previous records in terms of attendance, and the growth from our regional groups was just massive. We've done an awful lot. But we have repeatedly, in fact, four times now, tried to become a political party. And each time we have been knocked back, each time we've asked why we were knocked back, we were given another silly reason, which we then, or another hurdle we had to jump over. And we were presented with a final hurdle after the fourth knockback. And we are happy to say we have now finished drafting a new constitution, and we are about to have that checked by a solicitor. And that is going to be submitted to the Electoral Commission in the next couple of weeks. By the end of February, that will be in with the Electoral Commission. We are going again to try to become registered as a political party. This is something we do want to move ahead with. We want to give people the chance to participate in elections under a genuine ethno-nationalist banner. And we also want to reassure people who aren't interested in elections that PA will remain, first and foremost, a community-based organization. We're going to be a community-based organization first, but we do want to be able to participate in elections. And when we can participate in elections, we will be doing so very carefully. We will not be flying straight in there and throwing thousands and thousands of pounds at elections which are unwinnable, but we will be building up our community base in areas where we have a lot of support, and we'll be attempting to get councillors elected in those areas. And that is something we are moving forward with again. Now, do we expect to be rejected by the Electoral Commission? Yes, we do. However, there are a number of other parties who are now registered, which were registered within the last 5 years, that have very similar policies to ours and have very similar constitutions to ours, and have been registered. So if they knock us back this fifth time, we are going to demand a face-to-face meeting with them. We are going to travel to London and we're going to have it out with them. And I will endeavour to tell all of you exactly what happened if it goes towards that meeting. And if they continue to do this, we will then seek further legal advice. But we are pushing ahead with this. We know the Electoral Commission are an anti-white organization. They are there not as they were intended to be there. They were there to make sure parties were funded properly in a transparent manner and they weren't receiving large foreign donations. However, now the Electoral Commission are acting as more or less a political moderator in terms of what should and shouldn't be allowed. And this isn't just based on ethno-nationalism. There was a black Christian party. Well, it was a Christian party predominantly made up of blacks and run by a man of African descent in this country that had a Christian and very moral family-based manifesto. And they were knocked back for stating that they believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman. And recently, the English Democrats were just denied their new electoral slogan. So parties can register a number of electoral slogans, which can be placed on the ballot paper saying what they stand for to help people understand who they're voting for. And the English Democrats stated that they wanted to change their slogan to stop the migrant invasion. And they were told by the Electoral Commission that that might be offensive to migrants, and people who are travelling to Britain that saw that might feel uneasy. This is the kind of ridiculous nonsense that we are dealing with. These people are getting well above their station, and we intend to fight it all the way. So, Laura, how do you feel about our chances? Do you think we'll realistically sail through, or do you think we're going to have to take this fight all the way?
Well, I think they obviously don't want to let us through, so God knows what petty, minuscule thing that they'll pick this time. But it's frustrating, and it's frustrating for our supporters as well, because we have people who want to stand as independents and we have people who are really keen for this to go through. But the Electoral Commission, we send it off and they take ages to get back to us, and it's just been an absolute nightmare. So I'm not confident, but, we've said it before, they'll give up before we give up. So we just need to keep doing it, really.
We do. But just because we haven't been registered as a political party doesn't mean that we can't influence elections. And recently, there have been some very, very naughty boys and girls out there who have been using our PO box to produce and distribute a leaflet in a recent by-election. Now, this leaflet has caused major headlines in the local area, and it has caused such a strong response from the Conservative Party that the Conservative Party are so nervous about losing this by-election that they have drafted all their MPs into the constituency to campaign on the doorstep. Now, obviously, we're talking about the David Amos seat, Southend, I think it's Southend West. The Southend West seat is up for grabs, and there isn't a single establishment party other than the Conservatives standing there. But I don't know who's produced these leaflets, but whoever it is, real genius. These are a real work of art, these leaflets. And I'm going to show you them because they're causing an absolute stink locally. The local Conservative Party are in a tailspin. And then we're going to read some of the fantastic tweets of rage that have been flying about Twitter because of this leaflet. So let's have some fun, guys. Let's have some fun. Right, this is from Essex Live. David Amos, racist, in inverted commas, fake Conservative leaflets put through Southend-on-Sea letterboxes during by-election campaign. The fake leaflets, well, they're not fake leaflets. They are actually leaflets. You know, to say they're fake leaflets would imply that they're not actually a leaflet, but they do look like a leaflet to me. So the writer of this article is very misled. The fake leaflets that were delivered to residents in Southend purporting to be from the Conservative Party. And there's a picture of Boris Johnson being dressed by two Muslim chappies in a very with a very funny look on his face, almost like he's being religiously cucked there. Fake political leaflets purporting to be from the Conservative Party in Essex have been branded racist. The by-election for Southend West is approaching next month and political parties in Essex are on the campaign trail. Go away, pop up. It follows the tragic killing of Sir David MP, the former Conservative MP for the constituency in October last year. While the Conservative and their candidate, Anna Firth, are campaigning for residents' support, some have been reporting receiving racist leaflets posted through their doors, which purport to be from the party. The fake leaflets, no, they're very real leaflets, which are in the same shade of blue as the Conservatives use. Ooh! the chicanery put emphasis on the Conservative Party being proud of net migration and welcoming refugees into the country. A variety of claims are made about asylum seekers and levels of immigration, including criticism that the government offered passports to over 5 million Hong Kong residents. However, this is misleading. No, it's not. As it relates to a new visa scheme introduced in January 2021 for anyone with British national overseas status to apply for citizenship. It's not misleading then, is it? Because they did do it. And the leaflet states here, in 2021 alone, Boris Johnson and the Conservatives are proud to have fast-tracked 25,000 Afghan refugees into Britain, offered British passports to over 5 million Hong Kong residents, used the border force to facilitate tens of thousands of illegal channel crossings and house them in hotels, offered visas to tens of thousands of guest workers to help push down wages for British workers, Conservatives welcoming refugees and economic migrants. And for some reason, this has upset quite a few people. And on Twitter, shall we go to this tweet? How do we go to the tweet? People are really upset. This official looking, but likely illegal. Unlucky mate, it's not. And very fake. No, it's a very real leaflet. By-election comms is getting posted through doors in Southend. A pit of stomach feeling all week after seeing candidates. Looks like it's about to begin. Southend is open and inclusive and united. Racists are not welcome. Well, this complete gimp, he's obviously spent all week feeling sick and having butterflies in his stomach because he got a leaflet that told him the truth about what's going on. What a complete loser. Dan Salter said, Jesus, grim AF. James Sutton with a little blue check mark. Shall we see who this guy is? Is he famous? Oh, he's got a blue check mark, but he's not got many followers. He says, effing hell, grim. James O'Brien said, jeez. Somebody posted a picture of Boris Johnson. What else have we got? Now, it's not showing the full string, but people, show more replies. That's it. Got one of these as well. Notice the truth in politics bit at the bottom. Had a chuckle as it went in the bin. He's obviously upset because somebody told him the truth. This is awful. Who printed it? Says hashtag FBPE, silly lady who's a little bit behind the times. Their P.O. Box address matches with the far-right nationalist group Patriotic Alternative. It's run by Mark Collett. He used to be in the BNP and has some abhorrent views. Somebody simply said, oh dear, this strange woman. This one's a complete freak, this one. Look at her stupid face. She said, return to sender, ? So we put without postage and maybe a brick. But the weird thing is, all of these people are very, very upset about this particular leaflet. But the strange thing is, nothing on the leaflet is untrue. And all of these people think vast numbers of migrants actually enrich Britain. So if vast numbers of migrants enrich Britain, why are they upset that a group is telling people that vast numbers of migrants are coming to Britain? Shouldn't they be celebrating? Shouldn't they be celebrating that? So here's somebody who's put keep seething. Somebody called Cube has said, isn't this flyer all positive in your opinion? What is exactly the problem with these facts? Nothing illegal about it. Merely reporting the facts about the Conservative records. It looks like facts to me. How can it be illegal? Now, this really, really does trigger the left. The left. Oh, look, Simon Kimber. He's upset about it. Shall we have a look at his stupid face? Look at that face. He's very triggered, very triggered. I like how the left always look. They just look like visible misfits. As a witness to the recent Batley and Spen campaigns, I am sorry for the utter hateful horse poop that you are going to be exposed to. So the truth is now hate, and somebody's put their pronouns in bio, And this goes on and on. So you can look this up yourself. I'm not going to read all of these, but I do find it very, very amusing indeed. So how do you feel about this, Laura? How do you feel about the seething left who are very upset that the truth has been told by some plucky young upstarts who we certainly don't know who they are, but whoever they are, they deserve a pat on the back. What do you think to all this?
Yeah, it's like you said, these people think that mass immigration is a good thing. So why do they look at this leaflet and call it racist? Because it is just quoting facts. You know, it's figures from the Conservative government. It's from their website. And if these people see it as a positive thing, why are they complaining that people are telling it? It's almost like they know that mass immigration isn't a good thing, and that's why they're upset at the leaflet. But yeah, I mean, whoever designed that leaflet, I think it's brilliant. So well done.
Well, Let's hope it does the business, because I heard today that they're reporting in the local press in Southend West and the surrounding area that the Conservatives are now talking about it potentially being quite close and their vote are refusing to turn out. So whether or not you are registered as a political party, it seems like you can cause some form of impact and you can affect elections in one way or another. And I'd like to wish out all the candidates there who are standing against mass immigration, and there are a couple of them, all the best. And I really, really do hope those who are specifically campaigning upon the issue of mass immigration, which the English Democrats are, the English Democrats have got some great billboards in the area saying protect our borders, and they are campaigning strongly on that. I wish them all the best, and I hope that the people of Southend West get the message that the Conservatives are not interested in protecting our borders. And all that they say on TV, all that Priti Patel, all the Boris Johnson, all the hot air that they spew about preventing boats coming over the border and preventing people crossing the channel illegally, it's all rubbish. That points-based immigration system they were telling everyone about, it was total nonsense. But Laura, these leaflets have apparently had a bit more of an effect, haven't they? You were telling me earlier that local MPs in the surrounding area who happen to be Tories are now, in response to these leaflets, telling their constituents that they will be campaigning against asylum seeker hostels in their areas. Is that a result or what?
Yeah, let me just get the article up and I'll post it on Odyssey and DLive. So are these ones in Barrow, Mark, or is that a different area?
You sent me the article earlier. I can't find it now. I can't remember where you actually sent it to me. But there was in the wake of this, there's a Conservative MP who has gone on the rampage saying that he's going to stand against any asylum seeker hostels or migrant hostels in his area. And the point being, the more pressure we put on, the more they'll have to say what we're saying, and that's a good thing. But carry on, Laura.
Yeah, so this is in Barrow. So an MP called Simon Fell has basically said that a hotel which was being used to sell asylum seekers, he's now campaigning for it not to hold those asylum seekers. And the reasons that he's cited as to why he doesn't want the hotel to hold asylum seekers is far-right activity in the town. And the two far-right activities that took place in his town that were referenced were our guys leafleting in the town and our conference in autumn. So because of the PA activity that's taken place, that MP is now saying, actually, no, I don't want these asylum seekers kept in the hotel. And I think he's using the line like, oh, you know, there'll be troubles, there'll be community tensions, there might kick off, there might be violence, that kind of thing. But I don't know, I think maybe he just wants an easier life, and hopefully he's noticing that the public don't want it.
It just goes to show we can achieve an awful lot with just a small number of resources and a lot of guts. And that's what we're doing. There are ways that you can influence the political system without being registered as a political party. And we're going to keep advancing our cause through those channels until we are registered. But I think tonight has been a night so far of some pretty heavy white pills. We have been working very, very hard. We have been doing our best to influence the political system in numerous ways, but Laura has been working on something over the last few months, which is absolutely fantastic, and I want to let her have all of the glory for this, because it's something that people have been asking for, and it's something that we have delivered upon. And I don't really want to discuss this too much because it wasn't me who came up with it. It was Laura. So I'm going to bring it up on screen. But Laura, you take it away and explain the roadmap.
Yeah, so basically we have a roadmap for Patriotic Alternative, and it shares our short-term goals, our medium-term goals, and our long-term goals. So it's 1 to 2 years, 5 years, and 10 years. You'll notice that I've used Scotland's Ben Nevis pick at the top. That is because they won the competition last year, and we said that their photography would be used in our promotional material. So yeah, well done to Scotland on that again. But so the roadmap, obviously there's an introduction there. It's available on the PA website. So if I'll just post the link in the chat if anyone wants to take a closer look. But this came from a suggestion from our regional organisers and our officers. So this wasn't mine and Mark's idea. It was, you know, our guys who actually asked for this so that they could have something a bit more concrete, which explained where we're heading as an organisation. And we've been working on it for the last few months. Again, it wasn't just me and Mark that came up with all the suggestions. We went out to the regions and we said, what suggestions do you have? What do you want us to be aiming for? What do you want PA to achieve over the next 2 years, 5 years, and 10 years? And this is everything that people came back with. So we had regional organisers and their officers and activists contributing ideas. So it's a community-built document. It isn't just something that me and Mark have said and said, this is what we're doing, guys. And it's available on the website on the About page. I am going to add its own page on the website, a roadmap page, but I was in a bit of a rush today, so I've just added it on the About page for now. But as you can see, you know, it has an introduction at the start, and then it's our short-term goals. So it's things like building networks and that kind of stuff. And then if you go to our long-term goals right at the end, having physical communities, having community activists in positions of influence, grow independent businesses to a larger size, have our own methods of managing finance, have our own advocacy groups, stuff like that. And then, of course, there is like the electoral route on there as well. But yeah, go and have a look at it, because it's an interesting document to send people if they want to know what we're doing. You know, a lot of people say you haven't been accepted by the Electoral Commission, so what are you actually doing? This is the stuff that we're doing. This is the stuff that we're working towards. And we work towards this stuff across the country every single week. So I think it will be good as well for our enemies who say that we're, you know, trying to start some race war or something. Apparently that's what our goal is. Actually, no, this is our goals. This is what we're working towards. So yeah, I hope you like it. And there's a lot of stuff on there. It made me realise how much we actually do, actually. But yeah, it's public now, so feel free to share it with anyone. And the regional organisers, if you're listening, feel free to post it on your channels, or, you know, if you get new inquiries or whatever, feel free to send it to them. But what do you think of it, Mark?
I think it's really good, and I think it's important to show people that we have got a vision for what we want to be. Now, obviously, we are very young. We've only been going for 2 years. But to give people an actual structured plan for how we want to grow, how we want to develop, and where we want to be, shows people that we are serious. Now, I think for any small political organization to blossom as quickly as we have has been miraculous. It's been absolutely fantastic. But people want to see that it's not just a flash in the pan. People want to see that it's not just a burst of activity that dies away. Now, in my time in politics, I have seen numerous parties start up, and those parties usually have an absolutely fantastic first conference or first event. Then within 2 years, you've never heard of them again. And usually the pattern is they have a great conference. It's full of people who have left previous parties or have been disillusioned with other political leaders. People are very, very enthusiastic about it. That party comes together. The first conference is great. Everyone's buzzing. They rush into an election full of exuberance, thinking that they're going to absolutely smash it because they've got the wind beneath their wings. They get a paltry result. And within a year, the party is a shell. Now, some of these shell parties do continue on, and some of them continue on for decades, but they never, ever have a meeting as large as their inaugural meeting. So their inaugural meeting will have about 100 people there, and that will be the high point. And post that first disastrous foray into electoral politics, they don't really do anything. And, you know, the few representatives that remain will continue attending other sort of open house meetings and sort of pushing their organization and what makes them different. But it never really gets anywhere. Now, we've been quite lucky because we've survived those first very difficult years, and we've continued to grow. We've continued to break records. But we don't just want to stay where we are now. We don't just want to sit here talking to the same sort of, you know, few hundred or thousand or so people at the end of every month talking about doing the same things. We want to genuinely grow. We want to advance. And we want to make sure that every piece of ground we've won, we consolidate, we hold on to, and we build on our successes. So it's very important that we plan for the future. And I've got to take my hat off to those who did this, because I don't take part in everything that goes on. This isn't one of these one-man band organizations. And in fact, I am very laid back with things like this. So although I did look over it before it was published, I didn't have a controlling or guiding hand in this. So I'd like to thank everyone who did, and an especially huge thanks to Laura, because she had just given birth. And at the same time, you know, she had a baby in one arm and a laptop on her knee finishing this off. Absolutely sterling work from Laura on this. So thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this before we move on to something that I'm quite passionate about and that I have been working hard on?
Yeah, just one thing quick. I hope I'm not starting drama by saying this, but I think we've changed a lot as an organisation since we first formed, like 2.25 years ago. And I think when we first formed, we had a big focus on e-celebs, and there was a lot of e-celebs that supported us. And then over the years, I think because Victor isn't instant, you don't just, you know, save your country in 6 months. I think a few of these people kind of dropped out and decided to just stay with online content. But we had a lot of really serious community members and activists join us who took their place. And now I would say that PA isn't an e-celeb movement. It's a community-based movement. So most of the people who were involved with us are people that you guys don't even know, because they're not public figures, but they work so hard behind the scenes. You know, it's our officers and our regional organisers, our activists, that kind of stuff. And I think we've become a lot more serious as an organisation. And some of the people that we've lost, I'm quite happy that we've lost them, to be honest. And the people that we've got that have replaced them are just amazing. And the people that we have now are just so dedicated. And it's just such a much more serious organisation, if that makes sense. So I do feel like we've moulded over the last couple of years, and maybe that's why we've survived and that's why we continue to grow. But yeah, we didn't want to be an online movement, you know, just some people who stream all the time. We really wanted to be IRL focused. And I think that's what's saved our bacon, really, and allowed us to continue growing.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll further, a small further point to that before I move on. When you start as a political organisation, you start out, you get that massive inaugural enthusiasm where everyone's like, wow, you know, within 18 months, you know, we're all going to be sat in Parliament and we'll be arranging the immigration law, and there'll be deportations of illegal immigrants, and we'll make sure the English Channel is patrolled with, you know, proper boats that are turning them back, and we'll start becoming self-sufficient, and we'll start changing the school curriculum. And people have all these big ideas, and politics doesn't really work like that. Politics is a long, hard road, and this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And I believe there's a lot of people who were involved with us at the very beginning who were in for a sprint. And when it didn't work out to be a sprint, and we showed it was going to be a lot of hard community work, many of these people backed away. Now, obviously, some of these people I'm sorry to see go, and I think these people should have stuck with things and got involved at local level. But going out and doing litter picks, or, you know, going out and feeding the homeless and arranging events or doing things like that, it's not as glamorous as being an e-celeb. It's not as glamorous as making videos and getting $20 super chats and just giving your opinion and then turning off the computer and going to bed. It's hard work. I've done these things. I've done the litter picks. I've done the feeding the homeless. And it's a real experience. And in some ways, it's a humbling experience. But it is good, but it's hard work. And hard work scares some people. But that's the sort of people we want to attract. We want to attract people that aren't put off by hard work and know it's going to be a hard slog. But I want to talk a bit about something now, which is something that I do. Now, there's a lot of people who will be saying, well, if Mark didn't do the roadmap, what does he get up to? Why do we, what's he sat at home doing? Well, something that I'm very passionate about is about community building. It's about helping people. And specifically, it's about helping people better themselves. Because one thing that I've noticed that has been somewhat of a valid criticism in the past about nationalism is that nationalism has been populated by people who have never really got their life in order, are people that haven't really achieved what they should be achieving and need a little bit of help to get on the right track and get where they're going in life. Now, I've talked about this before. I've talked about doing CVs with people, but this week has been a very, very good week for me. I helped one particular woman do her CV on Thursday. We spent an hour on the phone. I have a new way of doing the CVs. If you need a CV doing, you need to email me. And I now do them on the phone with people. I spend an hour producing them a professional CV, asking them about their work history, working with them personally. Then when that is completed, I send it back to them. And if they need any further advice or care or any interview tips or any mock interviews doing with them before they get a job interview or have a job interview, I follow that up with that. But this week I've actually had two emails come in from two different women, in fact, because the CVs I do are split, probably about 60-40 men to women. But two women wrote to me this week, both of whom, I'm over the moon, that I did CVs for them, and both of them have now got jobs and the jobs that they wanted to get. So this does work, and this is something that I actually love doing. This is something I'm very passionate about, because I don't want nationalists to be people who don't fulfill their potential. I don't want nationalists to be the down and out, the forgotten underclass. I want them to be people whose dreams come true, who can get where they want in life, who are successful and then go on to have families and, you know, raise children and do the best thing for our people that they can. And obviously, getting a good job, moving forward with your life, it is important. And that is something I'm really passionate about. Because when you think about all the other ethnic groups or all the other different interest groups in the world, there's somebody out there helping them. There's somebody out there giving them a leg up in life. And that's something that I'm super passionate about. That is something that I want to do. So we have had a number of successes, as I said, this month. I've worked with a number of people on their CVs, and two women this week have written to me saying thank you, that they've got a job by using these CVs, that I work with them over the phone doing with them. And I'm really proud of them, and I'm really proud of what we're doing. And these things, this is an example of what I actually do in the background and how PA is different from other political movements and how we actually help people in the real world to better themselves so that our community as a group moves forward and prospers. Laura, do you have any thoughts on this?
No, I can confirm that you do this, because I'm always copied into the email chains and it fills half of my inbox every morning. But yeah, it's great that you do that, and it's great that you're having successes as well. I don't really know what else to say, just good work.
Well, we've been having successes elsewhere, and I was going to pull Sam in, but obviously little Catherine is being a bit screechy. But at the weekend, Sam attended a COVID demo in Leeds and a COVID march. I was there at the beginning, but I had to slope off before the march took place. Somebody has been pointing that out aggressively online, that I wasn't there during the actual march. They only stayed for the first bit. Well, well done. Well done, yes. I had to go and meet my family because both me and Sam got the time wrong. We thought it was about an hour earlier and we were stood about, and I thought it would have been over by the time I had to disappear. But it was a very good event, and Sam stuck it out. Both me and Sam leafleted the crowd beforehand, before the march began. But not only were me and Sam doing that last weekend, but there were numerous different PA groups out last weekend at the Worldwide Freedom Day rallies all over the UK. And one thing that I'm also super proud of is that we have been working tirelessly at these different events up and down the country to tell the dissident voices there that there is an organized nationalist political group that holds the same views that they do and are standing up for their rights. Obviously, Sam isn't here to speak about this for obvious reasons. He's playing super dad at the moment. So, Laura, would you like to speak on Sam's behalf?
Yeah, so Peer Yorkshire, Peer Scotland, Peer West Mids, and Peer London all attended COVID rallies over the weekend and handed out leaflets. Thousands of leaflets went out, and we've been getting a ton of messages through the website of people who have been talking about COVID. So obviously they received a leaflet at one of these events, and then they've got in touch with us. So it does work. And Sam told me that he was stood at a lamppost, and there was like two rows of people walking past him, and he said he just couldn't give the leaflets out quick enough. He was just handing them out, hundreds and hundreds of them. And these are obviously people who are susceptible to our ideas. And even if they don't call themselves nationalists, they are people who know not to trust the government. So I think a lot of them are on board because we are getting a lot of messages about stuff. But yeah, it was just really great work. And I think PA as an organisation have pushed back against this tyranny really, really strongly. You know, we've had people attending demos, we've had people out leafleting, we've done streams, we've created documents for people, we've had articles up about it, we've done protests about it. We have pushed back really, really strongly. So the weekend was a really good show from PA activists, and we were out at four places across the country.
And yes, I would have liked to stay there longer, but not only did everything get messed up for me in terms of the times, but my darling daughter decided to have a nap at the worst possible time. And at that point, I had to flee to ensure that she was given her lunch. And I apologized to Sam that I couldn't stay for the full duration, but I'm not hiding that from anyone. The people online who are saying that I am certainly not. And I certainly wouldn't take credit for anything anyone else did. It was a cold day, and Sam was out there for the duration. So well done,
Sam. Did he tell you that he bumped into the person that kicked him out of Far Britain?
Really? What did they say?
I think it was a woman, and apparently she was just really friendly, and he was like, oh, this is what I'm doing now, and handed the PA leaflet, and she was like, oh yeah, nice one, because she's not with Far Britain anymore either. Oh, but you know, he got booted out of Far Britain because he was doxed as being like too extreme, talking about race and stuff online. So he bumped into her at the protest. So yeah, there were people there from all sorts of groups.
Well, that is good to hear. We had a presence at these places, and although it is a major white pill that restrictions are being dropped, we're being very vigilant. And the fact is, we are not going to just give this up. We are not going to drop this. We are not going to be just saying, right, it's over now, we're moving on. If the government try to bring back health passports, if they try to bring back mandatory jabs, if they continue to offer jabs to younger and younger children, we will continue to oppose that and call for the rights of people, anyone, to say that they don't want to undergo medical procedures that they're uncomfortable with. And of course, we will continue to campaign for the rights of the 100,000 plus NHS workers who now are set to be sacked just in a few days' time. I think the government will choke on that. But saying that, there is a story up on my Telegram today, and I'm not going to show it, but I'll just read you the things. Care worker visa. Relocate to the UK. Join us on Zoom for the young Africans without any background in the health sector who want to become health givers or nursing assistants in the United Kingdom. NHS accredited training care certificate, job interview and recruitment, visa assistance, family and dependents. And here's another one for the young Africans without any background in the health sector who want to become caregivers in or nursing assistants in the United Kingdom. Relocate to the UK. aceprofessionals.org. Now, these are adverts for online streams that have been posted around the internet for young Africans who want to work in the UK health care sector. I don't think it's any coincidence that these are flying about the internet now, just as we're on the cusp of seeing 100,000 doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers about to be sacked. And that brings us on to something that's very important, because despite us spending a lot of time talking about COVID, we have always stated that the big issue above COVID, above anything else, the single big issue of our time is the demographic shift. It is the fact that our people are becoming a minority. And we have a very special event, which is going to be a bit of a competition planned later this year. So I'm going to let Laura explain this to you. We haven't got a date set for it yet, but I'm going to let Laura explain this to you, because this is going to be big, and this is going to be something we're going to ask all of our regions to be involved in. And we're going to see if we can spread the word about 2066 as quickly and efficiently as possible. So take it away, please, Laura.
Yes, so we're launching a new piece of activism for April, and basically it's going to be the 2066 demographic leaflets, and we're going to be having a competition throughout the whole of the month. So we're going to announce it in March, and we're going to give all the information out. You know, we'll prepare a PDF document with all the rules and instructions and stuff on there, and then it's going to take place for the whole of April. So it's basically to see which region can deliver the most leaflets about 2066 in April, and there's going to be a tally on the PA websites throughout the whole of April. So if the regional organisers can report back to me and say, today my team did 100 or today my team did this, we'll update the tally every day, and then at the end of April the winning region will receive a prize, which we don't know what it will be yet, but you'll certainly get bragging rights. So we basically want to spend the whole of April, it's going to be demographic replacement awareness month. We want to get out as many leaflets as we can throughout the whole of April, and we hope that every region will want to take part. I'm going to go out and do some leafleting for Yorkshire. I'll go out with Sam. We'll have to take it in turns with a baby, but yeah, that's it really. Just whoever can deliver the most leaflets will win a prize, and we're still sort of finalizing the details of it, but we're going to do it for a whole month because, you know, if we were thinking about doing it for a week, but not everyone can get out in a certain week. But if we give it a month, I think everyone will be able to get out. And hopefully we can deliver maybe potentially tens of thousands of leaflets about, you know, white British people becoming a minority by the year 2066. So we're going to be going really, really hard on that issue in April.
Which is great. And that will also tie in with Indigenous Peoples Day. We are doing Indigenous Peoples Day again this year. It will be in August. So you have been warned in January. Get your thinking caps on, because again, there will be a prize for the region that does it best. The region that knocks it out of the park will be the region that not only has bragging rights, but gets that prestigious trophy. Sam completely cocked it up last year. Absolute disaster. Trounced by Scotland. But Sam is going to be back with a vengeance. I'm sure plenty of people are going to be having very, very good ideas. But this will be the third year of doing Indigenous Peoples Day, and I want to see it bigger and better than ever before. So please do get thinking about that. But now we've got a guest coming on, and we've got a new announcement for how we are going to structure one of the regular events that we have been doing. And our guest now is the Patriarch. Are you there, my friend? You there? I can hear you breathing. I can hear him breathing, but he's not saying anything. Why isn't he speaking? He is breathing and making noise, but he is not speaking. This is the kind of technical competence I would expect. Let me send him a Telegram message and tell him.
Yeah, that's weird that we can hear clicking.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear us now?
Yeah, yeah. You said 5 minutes. I was counting the minutes.
Is this like the time when you forgot your laptop and couldn't play PUBG, or the time when your keyboard didn't connect, or the time when, or the time when, or the we can't go back to all the times you've been technically hampered by your own system. No, but I'm sure this time was my fault.
Okay, yeah, no, I just minimized. I thought I'd sneak in a quick UFC intro. Where what's it called? Intro video. But
well, look,
I didn't have time.
Stop babbling, my friend. You're live in front of hundreds of people. We need to promote the excellent new idea you have had, because I think this is going to be a real, real winner. Now, obviously, people know the Patriarch. People know he's been running a number of competitions, helping nationalist artists produce wonderful and inspiring works of art of all kinds, whether it be music, whether it be poetry, whether it be traditional art, digital art. And that's been going really well. How many entries have you had in total over the months you've been doing it?
Over the months? Quite a few, maybe well over 100, I guess. It varies, though. Some months are hotter than others, you know. But we had a month off last month coming off Christmas. And obviously, I knew we had this looming. So we want to start back on a high?
Well, I think people have been producing some great artwork, but so far that great artwork has been inspirational, but it hasn't been used politically as of yet. So I was talking to you and we came up with the idea that our artists could potentially produce hard-hitting political cartoons, and the best of those could then be used on future PA leaflets. Mm-hmm. What do you think to that idea, and how do you think that will be seen by the patriotic arts community?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, obviously, because it goes beyond, you know, just creating, you know, art for art's sake. It's actually doing something that has real world meaning now. So that's why I think it'll have a lot of appeal and intrinsic value. Depending on the nature of the brief, it would be nice to potentially get copywriters involved as well to maybe do kind of catchy headlines. So it would be nice to broaden it and make it not just towards designers and artists, but if someone wants to come up with, you know, catch lines and phrases, I think that would be nice to throw that in there as well.
Indeed. Now, you and I were having a talk about this, and obviously one of the big issues that we are going to be facing is it looks as if they're going to be bringing in jabs for toddlers. And I had the idea that we could maybe have a sort of demonic looking Boris Johnson who's sort of caricatured as a mad doctor with a giant syringe in his hand, leering forward, saying, "I want your children," or something of that of that kind of nature. And that's the kind of thing we're looking for. We're looking for people to seize upon things that are very, very emotive, things that people care about, and sketch something up that is funny, the sort of caricature or little cartoon that you might see in a newspaper that we could use on a PA leaflet. And I think the Boris anti-jab for kids issue is still an issue that people care about. It's still an issue coming out of the COVID tyranny that people are very concerned about. People don't want their children to be jabbed. Parents don't want their children walking into schools and being given mandatory jabs without their consent. And I think that's a pretty hot topic. Do you have any other good ideas yourself, Patriot?
It's like peeling an onion, really, creative process. And I've not really started the ideas process just yet, other than what we kind of just touched on. But Boris is a good start. Obviously, we can go down into other areas. I guess we need to keep it kosher, you know, so above board. So it's
you know, we don't want it to be kosher, do we?
No, but you know, there's an irony there, what I'm saying, in terms of how we deliver the visual message. So we need to make it you know, kind of potent, but nothing that's going to draw too much negative attention.
Indeed. So are you going to get your inner circle of patriotic artists together to start brainstorming, and hopefully we can get some of these cartoons? Do you think a good place to start would be the Boris cartoon?
We can get the official brief written up between us, and then I will create a kind of flyer or banner to promote it, as I usually do with the other challenges. And then we put it out and, you know, push that and share it in various different groups. And whoever wants to take part can take part. And have a deadline, I guess, for maybe 4 to 6 weeks instead of a month. I don't know, whenever you feel like you want to put it out there.
Well, yeah, we obviously want to get things moving with this. But, yeah, let's get together a little working group. I'm going to put you in charge of creating a private Telegram group. Get your best artists together, get people involved, put out a bit of a memo for people who want to be part of this. And we are going to set up a working group that will produce politicized cartoons. And the best of these will feature on PA leaflets, PA posters, and other advertising material. So I think that's a much better way to use our artistic talent, and for artists to be rewarded, because there's no greater reward than knowing that your art is going to be seen by tens and tens of thousands of people all over the country who are getting the leaflets. So is there anything else you want to add to that?
No, I mean, obviously we'll be promoting it on the Patriotic Arts Community website, but you know, until we've got the brief set in stone, I'll spread the word initially on the community channel if people aren't already tuning in now, and then you know, we'll launch officially the 1st of February, I guess.
Superb. Well, before you go, I'm going to say, are you ready for the first Sunday in February?
The A-Team. Yes, I will be ready.
I've got to say, the Nationalist A-Team has become my favourite show of the month. It is definitely the funniest show of the month. Will you have your system set up and be completely technically proficient and prepared for that night?
I will do. So long as there's no dodgy updates and that, but I guess I'll just have to make sure they're all done like 3 days before.
Well, why don't you spend the Sunday beforehand preparing yourself?
I will do that.
Well, thank you so much for being here tonight. And we'll speak to you again soon. And the audience can catch up with you on Sunday, the 6th of February, when we will be seeing you in the Nationalist A-Team. I'll see you there, my friend. Thank you for joining us. And myself and Laura are going to continue with the roundup. Well, Laura, that is the news. Now we're going to do the regional roundups. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I don't mind. It's up to you.
Right, let's share these screenshots. Oh, it's going wrong. Okay, East Mids, do you want me to do it or do you want you to do it?
I don't mind. I'll do it.
Go on then, you can start then.
It's blurry to me though, it looks blurry.
I'll do it. The thing is, I've got to say this, one of us is going to end up with Wales, aren't they?
Yeah. No one wants to end up with Wales.
PA East Mids have gone leafleting mad in January and have been out every week. This is the leafleting team in Lincoln. They aim to have one event per month in Lincoln from now on until further notice. They've been out in Northamptonshire. They have been out in Heanor, Derbyshire. And tomorrow they will be out and about in Nottinghamshire, spreading the message and making a splash. Our presence will be felt. Watch this space. They are still enjoying rapid growth. The RO has got through the backlog of people who signed up on the website over Christmas and New Year, adding many new activists to our regional group. It won't be long till we start to divide into county groups. There are a few who have not responded to our replies. If you think you should have had a response but have not seen one, please search your inbox and spam folder. If there's still nothing there, email us at eatsmids@patrioticalternative.org.uk and we'll get back to you. Our new media officer is producing excellent news content for our regional Telegram and Gab. Like and subscribe. Variety will resume in February. We have a big banner drop to do and a joint event with West Midlands along with all sorts of other ideas. Excellent. So on to the next region. Can you see that one, Laura?
Yes.
You should have them on your computer, to be fair, as well.
Yeah, why don't I just open them on my computer?
Yeah, read them on your computer. You've got them. You made them.
Well, I actually didn't make this one because Eastern always make their own. But yeah, so Norfolk became its own branch. Norfolk activists delivered nearly 6,000 leaflets in Attleborough, Dereham, King's Lynn, Taverham, Thetford, Wotton and Wymondham. I think I've pronounced all them right. Norfolk activists also went bowling and Team Essex had an evening of traditional pub games and video entertainment. That looks great. What is that game? It's like where you've got a puck and you've got to try and hit it into the other person's.
Isn't the puck one where you have to slide it down the thing and it's the person who slides it into the right area? So it's a matter of getting it to stop in the right place. I believe that's what it is anyway. I think that's what it is. You have to get it to stop before it falls off the end. Yeah, if it goes off the end, you get no points. But if you get it dead close to the end, you get maximum points.
Yeah. Also, we delivered hundreds of leaflets in Southend and Orsett. Essex started the month with a clean-up of a Braintree churchyard. We started a group to discuss all aspects of our culture. That looks interesting. Peer Eastern Culture Club. I do think that's the first region that's done that. And also they have a book club, and this month they were doing Hamlet as their book. So that's Peer Eastern.
Excellent. So this is PA London. Multiple social meals with PA London activists. they had a Christmas dinner in late December for all activists. That's really December, though. Shouldn't have made it into January. London and Easton visited the National Gallery, and our party was given a tour by a member of PA delivering insight into the history of Trafalgar Square and the heritage so many take for granted in the hustle and bustle of London. January leafleting handed out 1,600 to 2,000 leaflets at a COVID freedom rally. Lots of support. That is an absolutely Herculean task, guys. Getting nearly 2,000 leaflets out in a couple of hours. Amazing work. They leafleted an anti-lockdown protest, handing out a further 1,500 leaflets. So London will be on fire when it comes to leaflets. They delivered thousands of leaflets in the Bexley area, and they've completed four successful home visits and have activists easing themselves into new position in readiness for future announcements. And they also held a nationalist brewing course with one of our guys brewing a great ale, which will be ready later this month. Well, that is fantastic news. So busy from London, and absolutely amazing work with the leaflet. So Laura, do you want to do the northeast?
Yeah, you'll notice that three of the graphics look a bit different to the other ones, and that is because Catherine started being really, really naughty, so Sam had to take over the graphics. So this is one that
what
Sam
you're saying is the ones that look rubbish are Sam's work.
If you notice any spelling mistakes on this one, it's not me. Okay, so this is the northeast, and peer activists enjoyed their first meetup of 2022 at the impressive Penshaw Monument to commemorate our ancestors. We raised the banner Love Your Nation to remind ourselves and others of their great achievements. I can see some grandma towels tea in that picture as well. They also combined a homeless outreach with a historical walk around Newcastle City Centre. Through donations from our supporters, we provided the homeless with food, hand warmers and water. They were very much appreciative on such a cold day. After the outreach, we visited the Black Gate and Newcastle Castle, which dates from 1247, and admired many grand buildings in between. The North East also have their first local contact for County Durham, so please get in touch if you'd like to get involved in County Durham. Also, our activists were in the seaside town of South Shields to deliver the important message of the COVID restrictions. While most people believe the worst is over and life is getting back to normal, we at PA know we still have a long way to go. A great evening was had and we delivered 700 leaflets. And then lastly, our community continues to grow and we are becoming more organised. We now have a regional leafleting coordinator whose objective is to increase the public's awareness of PA in our region. So, yeah, great work, Northeast.
That was certainly good. I also like the way you mercilessly throw Sam under the bus. That is always fantastic, that you wouldn't take the blame for poor-looking graphics yourself. Not taking one for the team there, but throwing poor Sam under the bus as he's downstairs babysitting. The Northwest continues to grow, with new activists joining all the time. The schedule of upcoming events is starting to fill out, and we're looking for officers to formalise the regional leadership. Great work. Get in touch today at northwestpatrioticalternative.org.uk if you want to be involved. They had multiple leaflets to multiple visits to Leaflet Barrow in Furness. We've had good responses from locals and even prompted a counter-demo response from Social Outcasts Unite Against Fascism. The lefty fears...
Matt, I have to talk about that because that was so funny. Did you see the counter-protest that they did?
No.
In the Northwest. So they basically counter-protested us for something that we didn't even do. So did you see that swastika that was drawn backwards on a cenotaph in Barrow?
No, I didn't.
It says P-A-N-W, Britain First. And it's drawn backwards and it's been graffitied on a cenotaph. We didn't do that, but they believed a newspaper article that says that we've done that, and they counter-protested us. And I think there were six of them, and they went, it's some anti-white, anti-fascist organisation. They went out and did an anti-PA protest for something that we hadn't even done. And they stood there holding those, you know, those manufactured stand against racism signs that are like funded by some George Soros organization that everyone has. They just stood there outside with these little signs protesting against us for something that we didn't even do.
That we didn't even do.
Yeah.
Good work, guys. Good work. Activists took part in a cultural walk visiting Hurst Green and Cromwell Bridge after Oliver Cromwell, who crossed with his army on his way to fight the Battle of Preston in 1648, where Cromwell achieved a decisive victory over the Royalists, and Conservative MP Simon Fell recently rejected plans to house migrants in Barrow hotels due to our actions in the area. A massive success. A great success indeed. Well done, guys. Now on to Scotland. I'll hand this one over to you, Laura.
Yeah, so Scotland have had three leafleting sessions. You can see some photos in the top left there. They had numerous fitness meets, I think, but there's just one photograph there from Lothian Fitness Morning. They had five articles on the PA website, two hikes, one around Roslind Glen in Mid Lothian and the other up Glen Clover to Loch Brandy. They passed 1,600 subscribers on Telegram, and our Odyssey channel saw its first video hit 1,000 views. So that was Kenny's fighters, slackers and traitors speech. They attended two anti-lockdown rallies, one in Stirling and the other in Glasgow. And PA Talk aired four episodes, as did PA Patter, whilst PA Young Scots had two uploads. Our January edition of the Claymore newsletter is also primed and ready to go, and we also released our Hogmanay special since the last update. I saw that as well. That was really good. So well done, Scotland.
Superb. Scotland, as always, leading the way. Patriotic Alternative Southeast. Patriotic Southeast Telegram channel continues to grow. They appointed their first local contact in the east of the region to allow for more local events for those in Kent and East Sussex. They went on a walk at Godalming, where they visited the Titanic Memorial, a place which commemorates the man who was sending telegrams from the Titanic and refused to leave his post as the ship went down. They increased to 40 vetted activists in the regional chat, with more in the process of joining. To join PA Southeast, please email southeast@patrioticalternative.org.uk. And they added someone from XBMP TV to the regional team to help with media work. Another fantastic month down there. Now, on to Wales. Laura gets Wales, thank goodness.
Oh, God. Right. I don't think it's too bad today. So there was a litter pick by one of their activists, a Pinali church visit, sand art on Tenby Beach. So they wrote "We Were Never Asked" in massive letters on the beach. There's a video, I think it's actually already uploaded to our Odyssey channel, the video for that. They had the White Lives Matter rock drop campaign, which continued. Multiple different leafleting runs up and down the country in groups and solo activists working independently. And then it says, seriously, we smashed loads of these. So Wales are actually just leafleting machines. They're out every day leafleting. They had a meal and a social get together, and they did a banner drop and a protest outside the Dragon Hotel in Swansea again, where they plan to house 170 Afghan migrants.
Another fantastic month for Wales. And now on to the West Mids. The West Mids announced the return of their newsletter, which will be released at the end of each month. They announced the launch of the official Patriotic Alternative Warwickshire branch. Great work there, guys. Delivered hundreds of COVID leaflets in the idyllic village of Alton in Staffordshire, followed by good food and exceptionally good company. They say January was yet again a record-breaking month in terms of activity, with three more events still planned for the rest of January, totaling 10 events altogether for the month. Members of the West Mids organised a hike up to Mount Snowdon. Wow. Now, that is something I would have loved to have done. Activists stage a protest outside the Black Country Living Museum in Dudley. They protest the chairman's desire for fewer white men to be trustees and creators and curators of our very own history. The Worcestershire branch delivered hundreds of homes in Bromsgrove and spoke with members of the public. The Staffordshire branch held a litter pick in the park in their local area. Activists from Birmingham branch were busy attending an anti-vaccine passport protest, handing out over 500 leaflets. And the new Warwickshire branch had its first meet-up and hike in Warwickshire, Canal and Countryside. Wow. Well, that's absolutely amazing. And again, we see there, PA leaflets going out at all of these anti-lockdown rallies. So phenomenal work there. And last but not least, Yorkshire. You can take this one away, Laura.
Yeah, I just want to say in relation to the West Mids, I think they actually probably had the busiest month out of all the regions in January. And I just want to say well done on the protest that you did outside the museum, where they were saying that they want less white people in prominent positions, because I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say his name, but we have a guy up there who did what Sam does, you know, on the megaphone in Yorkshire. So they're now doing that in the West Mids as well. They're holding protests, and he shows his face, and he's quite happy to be public. And it takes a lot of balls to do that. And he's done it twice now, as far as I know. And it's brilliant. So do check out their videos on the West Mids Odyssey channel. But this is Yorkshire. Allow me to just open that folder. So activists kicked off the new year by leafleting the village of Haxey on January the 2nd. The annual game of Haxeywood, normally held on January the 6th, was cancelled due to COVID restrictions. Activists pooled resources to create food parcels for the homeless in Leeds, West Yorkshire. We also distributed clothing donations to those on the streets. Our new North Yorkshire local contact led a cultural visit to Rivalks Abbey, one of the largest abbeys in England prior to the dissolution under Henry VIII. They attended a worldwide Freedom Rally in Leeds, distributing over 800 leaflets to attendees. They protested the BBC and Channel 4 headquarters within the city centre. West Yorkshire had a social walk and visit to the historic Pontefract Castle. It was a wet and windy day, and the warm pub meal afterwards was highly valued. And our fitness officer, Jake, continues to push us to become the best nationalists we can be. Perhaps another 10K obstacle course looms in the future? ? And also, I just need to show you this, which is a new leaflet, which was created by the regional council in PA Yorkshire. Know the signs, stop the crimes. It's about grooming. And the other side is our shared problem, our shared power. So that's a leaflet that PA Yorkshire created themselves. And I think it looks kind of cool. It's like one of those infographics where it's like a cute little picture and then the text. But yeah, PA Yorkshire are going to be distributing them across their region as well.
Well, again, another fantastic month for more. As you can see, we've had a very busy month and the show isn't over. We're now going to answer your questions. If you haven't asked a question yet or made a super chat, you still can. We're going to answer all the paid super chats first, then we'll answer the non-paid questions, and we're going to go on until they're all answered. So I don't know how long that'll take, probably about half an hour. But here, let's go. Stan One gave £20. Thank you so much, my friend. He says, the way he has been treated by the media, the authorities and the banks has been utterly deplorable. Must be doing something right. 14. Well, thank you so much, Stan. We are doing our best, and it seems to be getting results. So they always say you only get flack when you're over the target. Sem gave €50. Thank you so much. And he said, a 10-month terror investigation for stickers. What is Britain coming to? Lol, good luck, English friends. Well, thank you so much, my friend. Red Line gave $14. Thank you so much. And said, congratulations to Sam and Laura with their newborn. May she be the first of many. Well, when's the next one, Laura?
We do want to have three kids, but I need a break in between. I just need one good night's sleep and then I'm good to go.
In 2 years' time, she'll be saying the same thing. I just want one good night's sleep. Bill Biz gave a very generous $100. Thank you so much. And said, Mark, Laura and Sam, the obstacles you've overcome over the past couple of years and the positive approach you take with PA is truly inspiring and very much a white pill to many of us not based in the UK. Keep up the great work. Well, thank you very much, my friend, for your generosity. Saxon Fraud gave £5 and a thumbs up. Thank you very much. For Camaraderie gave $3. Thank you so much. He said, Guten Abend, Mark. If we don't make it at 2066, do you think white people will be remembered like the Six Carillion in decades to come, centuries for that matter? The truth will out, camarades. Well, thank you. The problem is, if we don't make it, I still think there is a chance of victory. If we become a minority, we can still, as the largest minority, fight back and create a future. It's not over. It's not over until we give up. As a great man once said, only he is lost who gives himself up for loss. Look up that quote. Absolutely fantastic guy. I live by that. You know, I'm always upbeat, always happy, always moving forward, because that's the only way to live. But if white people do become something of the past, there won't be anyone to remember them. There won't be any history books still being written. If you look at what's happened to South Africa, and I posted up a very telling article about South Africa just this morning over on my Telegram, and I'll read it to you. South Africa's driver's license printer back in service. So South Africa, in the whole country, only has one driving license printing machine. Only one. Driving for the whole of South Africa, they've got one machine that can produce driving licenses. And that one machine was built in Germany. And every time it breaks, it has to go back to Germany, which takes several months. And then it comes back. And they've got months and months of backlog because the one machine that they have to process every single driving license application in the country has to go back to Germany to be fixed. That is a failed state. Now look what South Africa was like decades ago under white rule. Look what it's like today. Look at the state it's in. Now, if there weren't other white nations, where would the driving license printing machine go? Who would fix it? If there were no Germans to repair it, would it ever get fixed? Would there ever be driving licenses again? Who knows? What state would the world be in without white people? And that's why I believe that if white people do get to the actual point of extinction where they are nearly non-existent or tiny little outlying tribes hiding away and trying to grasp on to whatever little they have left, there won't be any history books. There won't be anybody remembering us because people won't remember things anymore. I think that's a grim thought, but it should be something that motivates you to fight very hard for our future. Max Anderson gave £5 and said, great work, everyone. Thank you so much, Max. That's the end of the paid super chats. But if anyone wants to do a paid super chat, they can. Enoch Spirit said, will you invite Morgoth to speak at future PI events? I'd love to hear a speech from him. I think more content creators should be physically involved. Just my opinion. Well, Morgoth is more than welcome to speak at any PA event. I would love to have Morgoth at PA events. I'd love to have him active in the Northeast. I'd love to see him involved in real life activity. I'd love to see a whole range of content creators involved in real life activity. I think it's very, very important. He's more than welcome. The door is open, but if people want to see him at public events, I can't drag him there. You should go and ask him. It's simple as that. And I'm sure, Laura, I'm sure there's a list of people you'd like to see at PA events. They are welcome there. And I think it is the time now, more than ever, for content creators to come into the real world. I mean, you echo that, obviously, because we spoke about it briefly earlier.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of content creators that do attend our events under their real names, but Morgoth hasn't attended a PA event yet. And obviously, you know, me and Mark are friends with him, and he's more than welcome. I'd love to see him at an event. But it is up to him, and it is up to the other content creators at the end of the day. They're always welcome, but I guess they have to weigh up the risk of, you know, whether they're going to lose a job or if their family would be okay if they got doxed or whatever. But yeah, Morgoth's always welcome.
Excellent. Steve Squire's CD Soho Shop said, also, will you be doing a stream on the French presidential election in the spring? Yes, we will be having the Braves on at some point on PWR, and we will ask them those very questions. PA Wales said, this is your monthly reminder that PA Wales is the best region. Thank you very much. Jonesy said, we need more content creators that people know to be part of PA like Wes. Well, you know, that's up to them. Steve Sias, CD Soho Shop, further asked, what are your thoughts on the trucker protests in Canada? Well, I think civil disobedience is a really, really good thing. I think non-compliance is a good thing. I think we beat the COVID tyranny through non-compliance, and that's very, very important. And I think if enough people just say they're not going to do something, the government can't enforce it. Look what happened with poll tax. And I think the same is true with these truckers. I think it's a great protest. I think it's a great idea. I think people should really be supporting those guys as much as they can. I mean, what are your thoughts about the whole COVID thing, Laura? It seems that mass disobedience and non-compliance eventually caused the government to crumble. You know, isn't that a positive message for all nationalists that actually doing something and making a small change yourself can force bigger changes in society?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure why they have gone soft on us. I'm not sure I figured it out. Why do you think it is?
Well, I think it's severalfold. I think, firstly, there was mass non-compliance. That's one thing. When you tell everyone to wear masks and people are more and more not wearing masks, I went to toddler gymnastics the other weekend with Sophia, and there was only three people in the whole group who had masks on, and one of them took their mask off when they saw that the vast majority of people didn't have masks on. That is very telling. People like to be part of the herd. I walked through a supermarket today, grabbed a couple of cans of Red Bull, and when I was in there, it was now less than 50% of people wearing masks. When I was at the gym, no one was wearing a mask. mask wearing is becoming less and less. My local sort of 7-Eleven store has taken down all of the stuff telling people to wear masks. And it was because people weren't doing it. People had stopped doing it. They were pushing back. And the government can't say there's a deadly disease, it's going to kill you all if you don't wear your mask. Then everyone takes their masks off and no one dies. It's as simple as that. Non-compliance and disobedience forces the government's hand because it makes their points look stupid. The second thing is the government overplayed their hand. The government were telling us 6,000 people a day were going to be dying of Omicron. I worked out it was 1.5 people a day dying with Omicron. Not of, but with. There aren't mass numbers of people lying dead in the street. Everything that you are told, you need to see if it marries up with observable reality. So your observable reality is the world around you. You know, are 6,000 people a day dying? You know, are we going to see 2.5 million people dying over the next year? No, we're not. If 6,000 people a day were dying, you would know some of them. You would see people collapsing in the street. People would be driving their car and having to pull over and just choking to death behind the wheel. It'd be like something out of a zombie horror film. But it wasn't like that. No one was dying of it. So they undermined their own narrative. And finally, and most importantly, the government are under massive pressure. They're getting thrashed in by-elections in some of the safest seats in the country. People are genuinely pushing back. And they have shown that they have lied. All of this has caused the whole narrative to collapse. So they're giving people what they want. They're just abolishing all the restrictions. And when one place that's as big as Britain, because look, I'm not under any illusion that Britain is a world leader anymore. The world leaders are America, China, and Russia. Britain now is in the second tier of nations on the world scale. But it is possibly one of the biggest. You know, you've got probably the second tier nations are Japan, France, Germany, and Britain. And I'd say Britain is arguably the most influential of those second tier nations because it is part of the Anglosphere. It's historically had a strong relationship with America. And it was at one point the world leading nation. And because of its legacy, when it does something, people listen. And we've already seen, as soon as Britain said no more restrictions, Denmark said no more restrictions. And it will now be a domino effect. And I think all of this is falling down because of those reasons. And ultimately, that's a good thing. And everyone who refused to wear a mask, everyone who refused to go along with the narrative, played an important part in smashing the lies. And I think this is a big win for us. And I understand people are saying we need to stay vigilant. We need to, you know, they'll probably come back and try this again. They will. But for the time being, we should be talking about the important role we played in ending these restrictions and ending this tyranny. And I'm really proud of every activist and every supporter who took part in this. Do you have anything? Because, I mean, Laura, yeah. I've got to say, you were somebody who never wore a mask. You refused. And you were, I saw you walk into places with me and you were quite rude and stern with those who asked you to put a mask on. You
know, I think I was rude.
Well, I wouldn't have liked to have been that person in McDonald's that you dressed down.
I must have been in a bad mood that day. First of all, I have one thing to say and one question for you. I think they've lied about the number of people who have actually had the vaccine, because the first tier of people who were supposed to have it were like NHS people, care home workers. And I remember me and Sam, every time we go to Bradford, drive past this sign and it's like, care home workers need to be vaccinated by this day. And then next time you drive it, it's like, okay, we've changed the date to this day. And then they keep changing the date because no one was being vaccinated. But weren't they saying it was like 80-something% of the population were up to date on all jabs or something? I don't see it happening.
No, today. they said eight. I think it was 80% took the first jab. About 65% have taken two jabs, and about 45% have taken three. They were the last figures I saw, and there is sufficient data to suggest that the government figures are over exaggerating the numbers that took it, to try and tell people everyone's done it.
Yeah, so it's like everyone's doing it, so why aren't you doing it? But I mean, me personally, I know people who have had the first two and then they got sick of it. But most people I know, I think, haven't had any jabs. So yeah, I do think, I mean, you shouldn't just count your personal relationships as being, you know, the same as the whole country. But I do think they've lied about the figures. But what I wanted to ask you, do you think the Christmas party stuff has had any influence on the government going a bit softer now?
Massively, massively. Because the Christmas party thing has been really interesting. Because the takeaway from this, from the media are absolute scum. I hate the media. And obviously, the media's takeaway from this is that Boris is a big fat meanie head and he broke the rules. And people who broke the rules need to be punished. And oh my God, you broke the rules, you naughty boy. How could you have done such a thing? And the media are very disingenuously focusing on the fact that he was naughty, he was wrong, he broke the rules, he was a big fat hypocrite. But that's not really the point, is it? That's not really the story. The story is, Boris and his minions in Downing Street were stood in front of us wearing masks, saying, this is the Black Death 2.0. You're all at great risk. Loads of people are going to die. Their initial predictions were between about 2.4 and 4.2 million people dying. They were saying, you know, we need these really big lockdowns. We need everyone to shutter their businesses. We need people to work from home. We need to put everyone on furlough. Everything has to be shut down because this disease is so deadly, so incredibly, incredibly harmful that you're all at such risk that you must stay at home to be safe. And that's what they kept saying. Stay home, stay safe, protect the NHS. And we heard that mantra for so long. But the real story is, while he was saying all that, he was having a birthday party, they were having a Christmas party, they're having a cheese and wine party, they're all dancing around as soon as the cameras are out of the building, the masks were off. And that doesn't just tell you those people are rule breakers. It tells you that none of them actually believed that COVID was particularly deadly or harmful. Because if I was in charge of a nation and I genuinely believed that it was Black Death 2.0, when we were going to be seeing record numbers of people dropping dead all over, once the cameras were off and it was the end of the working day, I'd want everyone as far away from me as possible because I'd want to survive. But once the cameras were off, they took their masks off, partied, enjoyed themselves, messed around, which tells you that the people feeding you the narrative did not believe the narrative and that the whole thing was a giant scam. And that is what the media aren't saying. The media are just saying he's a naughty boy who broke the rules. But the public obviously now understand that they've been scammed. They're fuming. They're not voting for the Tories. And now we're staring down the barrel of a by-election in Southend West, where, not being rude to UKIP or the English Democrats or any other part, but there isn't a big party standing. That is the Tories against all these small parties. And the Tories are absolutely messing their pants, thinking they're going to lose that by-election to a tiny little outsider party because everyone is furious. So, yeah, I think the public are fuming about this. And I my only great sadness about this is ultimately the public's response to their anger is going to be to vote Labour. So what will end up happening is the public will be angry about lockdown restrictions and the way they've been treated, and they'll essentially vote for a party that would have treated them worse and instituted a far harsher lockdown. So, you know, there is a good to this, people working in it, waking up and wanting to do something different. The bad to it is the something different will be voting for the other side of the illusory political divide. So essentially, you know, what they're saying is we didn't want lockdowns, so we'll vote for a party that would have given us a worse lockdown. And that's the sad truth in all this.
Yeah, I think he was ahead in the polls, wasn't he, Keir Starmer?
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah, that's the sad truth. Albion Forever said, hi, Mark. Will PA be making a leaflet on the climate agenda? It would be good to highlight the Tories' net zero plan and how it will impact people's standard of living. I'd be happy to do a climate change leaflet if people wanted. Simon, a few people have asked for that, actually, so it's something I could work on. St. Harrison said, I am very much looking forward to standing under the PA banner. If rejected as an independent using our policies, we should have the upper hand as there is a lot of disillusionment with Labour and Conservatives. Well, thank you, my friend. It'd be great to have you as a candidate. Cat Hugger said, Mark's CV help is incredible. The quality is outstanding. I cannot believe it's free. He really loves his people. I'll be forever grateful. Well, thank you so much, Cat Hugger. That is very kind of you to say. I did enjoy working with you on the CV. And yes, everybody who asks for a CV, I do it with them over the phone. So it's a CV tailored to them. It's not like a copy paste mess or anything like that, you know, and I do take time with it. And it's something I am proud of. So thank you for the kind word, Cat Hugger. And it was really nice to actually speak to you properly as well. Cat Hugger is a lovely woman, a very talented artist. And if you're not in, if you have old photographs that you want restoring, she restores them for people at a very, very reasonable cost. You should get in touch with her because she's a real whiz with Photoshop. She puts my skills to shame. I will tell you that now. Albion Avenger says, hi, Mark. I really enjoyed the videos of the last PA events. Will there be any future PA events and how can people come to them? Well, yes, there will be future PA events. If you want to come to future PA events, you need to get in touch with your regional group. You need to get vetted. You need to become part of our vetted structure and you'll be invited along to events and you can see any speeches or meet people in person. Trish65535 said, unfortunately, evil institutions never die. Is there any legal recourse to remove the release under investigation status? Unfortunately, there is not. They can keep investigating you for an almost unlimited period of time unless it is a statutory offence, such as like the Public Order Act, in which you have 6 months. That's what Barclay was arrested under, and that's why they had to give him his stuff back so quickly. And if you can hear some squeaking, it is my child going mad. I think it's bath
time. Mine's going mad in the background here as well.
Mine's absolutely going mental. Helester Anon said, the only time the left are angry about a critique of the Tories is when they realise that the critique cannot be addressed from the left. This one came from outside the left-right paradigm. Well, thank you. That is very true. Cat Hugger said, PA should have publicly removed it. We stand against graffiti, historical inaccuracies, and we do not want to be publicly associated with Britain First. Thank you very much, Cat Hugger. Steve Squires CD Soho Shop said, also, Steve Laws is standing in the by-election in South End West. Yes, he is. Trish65535 said, perhaps some leaflets with lists of best-loved English literature, best-loved English traditions to lead them to PA. Yeah, that's a good idea too. Steve Squires, CD Soho Shop, asked two more questions. He said, apparently, the truckers will arrive in Ottawa tomorrow and Justin Trudeau is conveniently ill with COVID. Yeah, he'll be hiding in his bolt hole. And he also said, Ireland has dropped all restrictions as well. So this is what I mean. We are now seeing a domino effect. So Britain stops it. It's been stopped widely across America in many states. And on top of that, we have now seen Denmark and Ireland fall. So this is very, very good. And VM said, three objectives for PA by the end of 2022. Go. Well, you can read our roadmap.
Check out our roadmap.
Yeah, that's what it's there for. And Rory Herbert gave £3. Thank you so much, Rory, my friend. He said, I wore a Nigel Farage mask from my UKIP days to my local supermarket once. That turned a few heads, to say the least. All very amusing. So that brings us to about the end of the show. That's all the questions and all the news. We tried to keep this to 90 minutes because, obviously, it's a Friday night. But is there anything you want to add, Laura? I think it's been a very energetic show, especially for the first of the year. I was expecting the first of the year to be a bit like, oh, well, we're just getting warmed up. But there was a lot to say.
Yeah, it's just this is my favourite stream of the month. It's just so positive and uplifting and white pilling. And I was reading the chat on Odyssey and DLive and a lot of people were saying well done to the regions as well, because we've been going for over 2 years now and things are just getting busier and busier and busier. We're just not slowing down at all. So it's so good to see. I just want to say, I think it's book club this weekend. Is it, Mark?
It is book club this weekend. And that is with the Golden One. It is Dauntless. And also, we've had a few people request a fantasy book. And we don't have a book for February. So if there is any nationalist writers out there who have written a fictional book, a fantasy book, which is not full of wokeness or the usual progressive nonsense, please get it to me ASAP and we'll book you in for February, because a fantasy book would be something that people would like.
We could have Fennec on. He writes fiction books.
Well, if he's got one, he should submit one. I've seen an email today as well from an Afro-Caribbean guy who wants us to review his fantasy book, which is apparently against political correctness and wokeness. So maybe that would be fun. We've never reviewed a book by an African before. But I would like that. I would like that. Anna Claire gave £5 and she says, I've been suspended from work without pay for not wearing a mask. Received a letter today saying if I don't disclose my vaccine status by the end of March, I will be suspended again without pay. you couldn't make it up. Keep up the good work to all those opposing. Thank you so much, Claire, and thank you for the £5 when you're suspended without pay. That means a lot. So, Laura, I think it's been a great month. I think we've done a lot, and hopefully next month will be even better. So do you have any final thoughts before we wrap it up and let everyone go and enjoy their Friday nights?
No, I'm going to keep it quick and go because I need to go. Soft.
Yeah, I've got a monster. I think mine's going mad.
Sammy's doing the book club on Sunday because it's with the Golden One. So I thought it might be a bit weird, me and Aunt Sally reviewing a book about masculinity. So Sam's going to take my place this month. And I'll be back on Monday for tea time with Sam and Laura, Monday at 7 o'clock. But that's it. Enjoy the rest of your evening, everyone.
Superb. And I will be back on Wednesday for Patriotic Weekly Review with Vincent James from the Red Elephant. I will also be back on Sunday for the book review, and I shall be chasing the Patriarch every day until the 6th of February to make sure his computer equipment is working and fully functional, because my favourite stream of the week is the Nationalist A-Team, and I'll tell you what, that is getting more and more views. It's an Odyssey exclusive. It's a lot of fun. And I've got a lot of crazy topics to discuss at the beginning of next month. So I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. I hope that you have enjoyed this monthly update. And also, we didn't even include my debate with Destiny. I did the big debate with Destiny as well. It has been a really busy month.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a fantastic month. I hope you've all enjoyed it. Thank you to everyone who donated. Thank you to everyone who tuned in. We had 550 people across DLive, Odyssey and Entropy, and Sven Longshanks tells us we had 1,696 on Radio Albion. I'm not going to add them up, but that's a lot of people. So thank you to all those who tuned in. Thank you to all those who donated. And most of all, thank you to all of our activists and supporters around the country who made January such a roaring success. Here's to another fantastic year. Thank you to everyone. Have a great night, and I'll see you all on Sunday. Stay strong, keep fighting. See you all soon. Goodbye.